The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading.
Ah, welcome back, everyone, to the National Intelligence Report here on Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. And we're talking about the 1860 census here. And how many people knew that there were a quarter of a million blacks in the South in 1860 who were free? We're never taught that. But of that number, 261,988, to be precise with the 1860 census, 10,689 of these free blacks lived in New Orleans, Louisiana. The country's leading African-American historian, Duke University professor John Hope Franklin. Now, folks, this is not some white guy spouting. This is a black man who has passed away, God rest his soul. He recorded that in New Orleans, over 3,000 free Negroes owned slaves. Again, this wasn't a white guy saying this. This was a black researcher. 28% of the free Negroes in New Orleans owned slaves. Now, to return to the census figure quoted, this 28% is absolutely impressive when compared to less than 1.4% of all American whites and less than 4.8% of Southern whites owned slaves. Blacks owned slaves in a higher proportion per capita than did whites. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, that's an inconvenient truth, let's say, Mike. Not supposed to think about that or think about, you know, the idea that there was actually white slaves there. They're the first slaves that came to the country. Don't think about that either. Continue with the narrative and don't color outside the lines.
Steven?
Yeah, you're a thought criminal, Mike. That's racist. You can't you can't report the truth. And that
guilty.
I was going to say that the facts and the percentages that happen with other things these days, it's racist to report just the facts too, like black on black or black on white and white on black crime. You know, those things, you're racist for noticing patterns, as Frederick Blackburn says.
Yes. Well, the statistics show that when free, blacks disproportionately were slave masters. The majority of slaveholders, white and black, owned only 1 to 5 slaves. More often than not, and contrary to a century and a half of bull whips on tortured backs BS, black and white masters worked and ate alongside their charges or their slaves, be it in the house, the field, or in a workshop. The few individuals who owned 50 or more slaves was, you know, rather minuscule, but it was confined to the top 1% and have been defined in history as slave magnates or magnates. In 1860, there were at least 6 Negroes in Louisiana who owned 65 or more slaves. The largest number, 152 slaves, were owned by the widow C. Richards and her son P.C. Richards, who owned a large sugar cane plantation in New Orleans. Another Negro slave magnate in Louisiana with over 100 slaves was Antoine Dubuchet, a sugar planter whose estate was valued at, now listen, in $1860, $264,000. That year, the average wealth of a Southern white man was $3,978. In Charleston, South Carolina, in 1860, 125 free Negroes owned slaves. 6 of them owned 10 or more. Of the 1.5 million in taxable property owned by free blacks in Charleston, more than $300,000 represented slave holdings. In North Carolina, North Kakalaki, 69 free Negroes were slave owners. In 1860, William Ellison was South Carolina's largest Negro slave owner and one of the five richest men in the state of South Kakalaki, Stephen. And there is a book for you folks who would like to check my figures. It's called Black Masters, A Free Family of Color in the Old South. And the authors were Michael P. Johnson and James L. Roak, R-O-A-K. And so they covered Ellison's life. And from Ellison's birth as a slave to his death at 71 years old, the authors attempt to provide justification based on their own speculation as to why a former slave became a large slave master. That is a very interesting study. I'm not going to get into any great detail with that because it will just take up too much of our time. But I kind of wanted to get back, gentlemen, to what was going on in the North at this time about the takeover of the government by Marxists, and it was Marxists who got Lincoln elected. So as we have moved in this direction for over an hour now, Dave, give me your observations, please.
Well, I guess what I find interesting is just the power of propaganda back then, and it's actually become much more scientific today. But the power of propaganda is used to create wars and to, you know, create psyops to actually encourage wars that are fought for purposes that aren't revealed to the participants until after the fact. And unfortunately, that's what happened with the Civil War. And I think you could easily make the argument that a lot of wars are not actually fought to win in the sense that we are told. I think there's actually some other games going on with that, just like there is today with this thing in Ukraine as well.
Well said. Stephen, your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. And the picture that Hollywood and that even mainstream education paints of that time period is very different from what you're describing in a lot of ways. You know, these tropes that they have, like I remember when I was a kid, well, in high school, they had that series called Roots. Alex Haley had written that book, and that's how most people of my generation looked at it. My parents' generation, it was Gone with the Wind was the way it was portrayed, but neither one of them are what you've uncovered, the way that people actually lived. You know, I can imagine going, you know, say you got transported back in time and you're walking down the road and you see this big plantation. You look, I need some help here. And you go up and there's the black guy coming out. You think it's the slave and it's the master. I mean, they're just a, you know, it's the person who owns the whole place. And a person from our time frame, or, you know, educated here would be completely blown away. And just thinking about that and thinking about the way society was back then, a whole lot different than it is now. We place what we think of as our moral high ground on these people back then. And we don't have, first of all, we don't have any moral high ground. I mean, you shouldn't own another person. Owning their debt, that's just as bad. You know how you mentioned that the moral zeitgeist had reached the point where that was becoming something unacceptable a while ago, Dave. I wish we could reach the moral zeitgeist now that owning another's debt is immoral as well. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
God, Stephen, that's such a great point. I don't mean to interrupt, Mike, but that's such a great point.
No,
thank
go ahead.
You for that. That's really good.
Go ahead,
good.
Dave. Are either of you two gentlemen old enough, Stephen, you made me think of it, darn your hide. Are either one of you two gentlemen familiar with a comedian years ago by the name of Foster Brooks?
Oh, absolutely. I was. He's the one that invented the name for what Worcestershire sauce. He came in and says, "Hey, Worcestershire sauce," because he was always drunk. He played a drunk. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Do you remember him, Dave?
I do remember from my childhood, yes.
All right. Well, I'll never forget watching Foster Brooks. And for you folks who didn't know, he was actually a teetotaler. He didn't drink at all, but he played the best drunk on television. And he was a regular on the Dean Martin show. And one of the things, Stephen, you brought it up, darn your hide, and made me think of it. I'll never forget it when he was on the Dean Martin show and he was doing his drunk impersonation. And Dean Martin asked him, said, "Well, Foster, have you been watching that new series on TV called Roots?" And Foster Brooks said, "Well, Dean, I, you know, the other night I turned it on and I watched it for about 5 minutes and nobody scored a basket and I turned it off."
That's hilarious. I see if I can find that clip. Thanks, Mike. That cracked me up, buddy. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's, wouldn't even be able to get away with that anymore. You can't laugh.
No, you can't laugh at what's funny anymore, guys. It's racist. Darn your hide, Stephen. You made me think of that when you brought up, the show Roots. But how many people know that of the 15,000 soldiers in the Federal Army of 1861, 4,000 of them were Germans who had fought as communist revolutionaries in the 1848 European Wars? Others like Friedrich Adolf Sorge, a trusted correspondent of Karl Marx, who participated in Germany's liberal uprising, eventually came to America in 1852. And intermingling with large community of German 48ers, he continued his activism through the Republican Party and was a vital force in the election of Abraham Lincoln as a member of the New York Communist Club. Once the prospect of war appeared in America, General John C. Fremont acted upon Lincoln's blessings and declared the state of Missouri under martial law in September of 1861. Soon, other losses of personal freedom and dignity would occur, as none could vote without taking that oath that we talked about before. Now, guys, how were you gentlemen aware of the fact that the city of New York wanted to secede with the southern states?
No, I did not know that. They wanted to, the city of New York. Boy, that would have been something.
That's,
yes, the city of New York wanted to.
That would have been a complete game changer. It would have destroyed the entire narrative.
Yes, the city of New York saw that what was happening. And, you know, one of the studies, and for folks, you know, who are not history nuts like I am, and, you know, and I envy you at times, but one of the things in studying that whole situation in New York, when the socialist Marxists began to take over in New York, New York City was too strong for them. So the Marxists were able to move the capital of New York from New York City to Albany. And then they wrote their own directives and their own constitution from that point. Because the population of New York was too strong for them. They couldn't take over that population. And there's another thing that I don't think most people are even aware of. And at some point in time, I would like to get into this, but it's what is called the draft riots of 1863. Now, it really wasn't the draft riots. The people of the South, the people of New York City were absolutely distraught with the fact that Lincoln and the Marxist government was doing away with all of their rights. They did away with the court system. You could only, the only way you could be tried was in a military tribunal. And the people of New York revolted from that. They did not want that. And so what is called today the 1863 draft riots was in fact not a draft riot, but it was a riot by the people of New York who said, we're tired of your Marxist BS. We're going to do something about it. And they tried to take their city back. Now, we just aren't taught that either. And especially since, the city of New York wanted to actually secede along with the South. And, you know, why weren't we taught that in school, guys?
Well, because it destroys the narrative of what we're supposed to believe about the Civil War. It would have raised a lot of serious questions, even for people who aren't all that, you know, sharp. Go, hey, what's going on here? This something's not right. So that's fascinating, Mike. I did not know that. And, you know, didn't Lincoln, you know, arrest journalists even up north and throw them in jail who wrote anything that was derogatory towards the war effort?
Well, either that, Dave, or he destroyed the newspaper offices, sent the military in, they destroyed the printing press so they couldn't print anymore. And let's not forget for a moment that he had a congressman from Ohio, Vallandigham, he had him arrested and tried before a military tribunal for opposing his programs from the floor of the House of Representatives. Now, Biden is, about as bad as you can get. But what would the people of today say that if a member of Congress stood up on the floor of the House of Representatives and opposed Biden's policies and Biden had him arrested and deported?
Well, that's actually a debatable question, Mike. Yeah, given the current climate, if he was involved in Russian collusion and a racist, maybe some people would say, hey, good idea, Joe. Good work.
Yeah, you're right. But would the good Republicans, Dave, would they object to that? Would the Trumpites object to Joe arresting a member of Congress and having him deported?
Are there good Republicans? No, I'm just kidding.
I love it. Thank you.
Yes, I see your point. They would be quite self-righteous. This is an outrage. We would never do something like this, you know, something like that.
Stephen?
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, that is debatable. Who knows what this administration will do before they're over. I mean, I do believe it is, like you said, fast descending. The precipice is there. It's like we're in free fall. The USSA seems to be here right now. And this, all the things going on remind me a lot of, like you said, 1848 to 1860. And also like the Bolshevik thing with the Gulag Archipelago. I read that again recently, and the parallels there are pretty stark too.
Oh, without a doubt. And gentlemen, one of the things that I am so thankful for in my lifetime was in 1987. I was able at the Kennedy Center to go listen to a lecture in person from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. That was, man, I wish at that time I would have had the ability to have recorded that event. It was something else. But to jump back, let's look especially at what blacks had to say about Reconstruction in America. And let's look at W.E.B. Du Bois again. And he wrote that the former slave welcomed freedom with a cry. They shrank from the master who still strove for their chains. They fled to the friends that had freed them, even though those friends stood ready to use them as a club for driving the recalcitrant South back into loyalty. So the cleft between the white and the black in the South grew ever wider. There's that music, guys. We'll be back in a few.
Go Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the National Intelligence Report here at Republic Broadcasting Network. And, guys, I just I mentioned earlier about New York, and I just wanted to bring up that Fernando Wood, who was both a mayor of New York and later a member of Congress from New York City, he claimed that Abraham Lincoln was at war with the entire country, with the North as well as the South, in the Marxist takeover of this country, which continues all the way to today. But let's look at a quote by none other than Fernando Wood. And he said, "One with the sword at the South and the other at the North by executive and legislative usurpation, taking advantage of the popular enthusiasm on behalf of the Union, it has, under the pretext of furthering this holy object, gradually fastened the chains of slavery upon all of the people of this country, unquote. Your thoughts, Dave?
Well, Mike, again, that's not exactly a well-known fact. Very interesting. Please continue.
Stephen, your thoughts on Mr. Fernando Wood's quote?
Well, like you said, it's continuing today. That's what gets me, is that this war against the people basically is being continued all around the world with the USA NATO empire, but also with what they're doing here with the quote unquote war on terror, war on drugs, war on cancer. Everything seems to be a war on the people since then, since this time even. I didn't know it went back that far.
Yeah. Well, let me make another quote here from a black professor, a Mr. Irvin L. Jordan Jr., a black man who was the assistant professor and associate curator of the Special Collections Department at the University of Virginia Library, who wrote, and I quote, one of the more curious aspects of the free black existence in Virginia was their ownership of slaves. Black slave masters owned members of their family and freed them in their wills. Free blacks were encouraged to sell themselves into slavery and had the right to choose their owner through a lengthy court procedure. Imagine that. And I wow. remember very distinctly reading the stories about Stonewall Jackson, who was in Lexington, Virginia. He, in his church, was against the law of the day, teaching blacks to read and write. And there are stories and documented stories of black slaves coming to Stonewall Jackson and begging him to buy them, because they knew that he would make sure that they learned a trade to where they could be self-sufficient, and then he would set them free. He did that on multiple occasions. And yet, these Marxist bastards are tearing down his monument. He could have done more to help them than folks like Stonewall Jackson. Gentlemen?
That's,
well,
you know,
Mike,
I think go ahead.
The tearing down of monuments is part, I mean, it's part of a bigger picture as well. I mean, they want to erase all memory of the Confederate point of view, but it's also, on a greater picture, it's sort of just destroying history and removing any sense of identity that Americans used to have, because they're creating a new identity for us that's going to be, it's actually very alien to most Americans. And I just see it happening all around, beyond even the removal of these statues, which is a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, I agree totally. And that, now that we mentioned that, I must tell the audience that tomorrow on the Rebel Madman radio program on at 4 p.m. Eastern time, tomorrow my guest will be John Hill, who is a descendant of Confederate General A.P. Hill, Ambrose Powell Hill. And folks, tomorrow I'm just going to turn John loose, and he's going to tell the audience about the battles he has fought to make sure that his ancestor was treated fairly. And I hear the music. We'll be back on the other side, folks. Thank you.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Take down, everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down, you busted, shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think it's all right. Break down, take down, you busted.
All right, folks, welcome back to the National Intelligence Report here on Republic Broadcasting Network. On the fourth day of August in the year of 2023. And Stephen and David, or Dave, we have cracked the egg on this total fiasco, but we have not even begun to make the omelet. There is so much more to this, and Americans have been deceived their entire lives. They have been lied to. America became a Marxist country under Abraham Lincoln, and it has never let go of that. It is still a Marxist country. And Lincoln, by CNN, is the top president of the in history. And, of course, Obama and Hillary and Donald Trump all thought Lincoln was the greatest thing, along with Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, and so many other people. And he was the first Marxist.
Mike, let me add, Mark Levin, when he broadcasts, behind him sits a picture of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, yes. Yes. And here's the thing, and just to continue, and then we're going to take a caller. The thing that I wanted to make sure is that John Hill got the full you know, mention, and he will be with me tomorrow on the Rebel Madman Radio here at RBN, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to talk. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, if you've got a heart and you listen to this young man talk about his fight to preserve the dignity of his ancestor, I'm not going to get into it because I want him to talk about it. But let me tell you something. If you can listen to this and still like this government, you are a certified frickin' idiot. I promise you. And you must be Marxist. And guys, any comments before we take a caller?
I'm reminded of that essay, you might already be a communist, or you are already a communist and don't know it. I forgot the exact title when you say that, when you said that last thing, because most people don't realize that, as you've pointed out, there's a federal agency to enforce all 10 planks of the communist manifesto.
One of the things I think about with that, Stephen, is when I remember, and through my research, there was a member of FDR's administration. I can't think of his name right now. But he made a public statement during FDR's administration that we have been able to implement at least 8 planks of the Communist Manifesto under our administration, and we have done so even better than Russia has done it themselves. Now, folks, that's what you're dealing with. The Republican Party of this country was founded by Marxists, and it has never changed. They have to, from time to time, to be pretend to be something they're not, but it's never changed. But, Dave, any comments before we jump to callers, sir?
Yeah, great points about the Republican Party. That's the sad truth. And, I really think the Republicans are actually kind of outliving their usefulness now. I think we're actually heading into a uniparty, an open uniparty system here very soon, because I think they're losing on purpose, in all honesty. I really do.
Well, very well said. And, gentlemen, let's jump to our caller, our first caller, Patrick from Texas. Patrick, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Mike. You're class is in here, and if we don't, get back together, it's like Richard Hawkins says, we have to go to camp, and that's how we meet, and we meet that way, because we do not control the media in any way at all. But I'm reading this book, To the Victors Go the Myths and the Monuments by Thompson, and it is just teeming.
Great book.
With page after page of this Carbonari, the Rosicrucian, the Union, the Order, the Illuminati, the Masons, and it's just jam packed. And they change their name so you can't be tracked so easy. But Europe is the same way. Italy was completely run by Mussolini, and then Mussolini cleaned them out, but they came right back and built back better. And the Bavarian Illuminati, with Marx, and that's where they're all coming. But one thing that really kind of Nancy Hitchcock brought out, the Russians, they done a good job. They protected the Christians. That was their modus operandi for a long time. But in the Civil War, they helped with the North. And they guarded the northern harbors of San Francisco, and I couldn't figure out why, but he comes to find, and Andy dropped it. He said, Lincoln found out Tsar Nicholas was having a time with the central banks, so he somehow another economy man to thinking that he was doing a good job to help the North. I said, okay, that fills it all in, but the Russians were in on it, along, and then of course we talk about the German participation. Those are all, secret societies, and you have no idea. And they're not many German. They just they're all to join these damn societies. And it's just the kids today, they just love going on gangs. You know, they're all, you know, want to be a gang member. They want to be somebody. And we've got a job. You know, it's going to take a strong leader. You know, I don't think we'll do that. We're going to have to go back to another foundation. Maybe religion, you know, is a basis, and then come and bounce back from that. But you know, definitely the government's not going to do it. And I thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Comments, Stephen?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate your input there. And I had heard that Russia did help guard the ports and stuff. I'm fairly ignorant as to the rest of their involvement. And, you know, I'm here to learn. Let me toss it back to you guys.
Well, that may have gotten Abraham may have been part of the fact that he was massacred, you know, exterminated by his own cabinet, was the fact that he had aligned himself with Russia, and Russia was guarding both the New York ports and the port of San Francisco. So that, and most Americans are totally unaware of that, because Lincoln was afraid that either Britain or France was going to come to the aid of the Confederacy, so he formed an allegiance with Russia. And that's a very salient point, Patrick. Dave, your thoughts, sir?
Well, Mike, I have a question for you. Why do you think the Tsar aligned himself with Lincoln in the North versus supporting the South?
I, you know, Dave, that is a great question, and I cannot actually formulate an answer in my head. Looking at history, I can't come up with a valid answer to that. It's a great question. Go ahead.
If I could speculate, maybe, you know, at the same time as the Union Pacific Railroad was being built, then they were building the Trans-Siberian thing over there. It was almost like a Eurasian shift happening even back then that they were trying to do, because they wanted to have this land empire, and you know, Britain was the sea empire and intercut France. So there's that dynamics going on too, but I don't know that really explains it. I just, you know, just noticing patterns, I guess, is where I was going with that, trying to sift through what I do know about it. You know, the particular people involved, it probably does go back to the central banks and the money. Most things do. You know, you follow the money to find it most of the time, even though Patrick's point about the secret societies is well taken, too. That's, that's been happening for a while as well.
Yeah, and we can't mention secret societies without mentioning the fact that JFK brought that up and made it very prominent right before they decided to shoot him in the head.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts, Dave?
No, that's a great point. And Stephen's bringing up an interesting kind of economic potential reason. Because, you know, when Poland, when the third partition of Poland happened, I believe it was in 1832 or 1837, Russia, you know, inherited, you know, the largest world population of Jews at that time, and they were sort of kept in the pale of settlement, and they were trying to deal with that problem. So I just find it interesting that he chose to align himself with the North there. It's just interesting, I guess, contradiction.
I hope we didn't lose Mike. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm not hearing Mike.
Yeah, I think I thought it might just be my my headset, but apparently he's lost his microphone there or something. Skype might be messing with him. Mike, if you hear me, if you aren't on mute, maybe you want to try to reconnect.
And was it something I said? No,
I doubt that. It's half. You know, I don't know. We could blame the three-letter agencies. It's probably just some kind of goof, you know, glitch. But, you know, I sure have learned a lot from of history from Mr. Getty, you know, Mike Getty there. I guess I've learned more, Dave, the last year than I did the whole time I was at school regarding some, especially the so this period and the, what happened with our founders, you know, those mythical founders that, that Mike talks about a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and I've never heard a good explanation for why the Tsar of Russia, you know, came on board so heavily with the Union. It'd be interesting to try to find an answer to that question. I think you gave an interesting hypothesis there that makes sense. It'd be interesting to find out more in depth what happened there.
Yeah, my memory for that side of it, I don't know. A lot of things like were happening along the same time economically with the railroads and the oil pipelines and stuff. And, you know, just this consolidation of power and the instruments of power were shifting from one thing to another. But, instead of it just being the money, then now they've got all the natural resources, too. And all of these wars manufactured, I think, more and more just to go and divvy up and take all those resources around the world. I remember this other book I read that Richard Nixon wrote called The Real War, where he talked about what was in certain parts of the world and, you know, different things, the oil mostly, and the whatever justification is given for these wars, it's all about controlling those resources. Pipelines, they always fight around the pipelines, you know, and then what else goes on with these pipelines? Where along that happens, ever since the Arab Spring starting in Western Africa, you know, it's the same old pattern of plunder that they've been doing since they did this to the South, and they're doing it today. You know,
vulture capitalism, as they call it. I believe there Mike is back with us. Mike, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. I apologize, guys. My internet went down. I mean, just poof, it was gone. And I apologize. It took me a while to get it back. I apologize to the listeners. I apologize to RBN. I apologize to you guys.
Glad to have you back. We were tap dancing waiting for you to come back, sir.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, guys. And, you know, I can't thank you guys enough for joining into the conversation. But what would be your synopsis of the fact let's use the old Latin phrase called qui bono. Who profits from feeding the American public full of lies? Stephen, go first.
Whoever's in power, I guess, you know, especially the ruling class, you know, the ones that are doing all this and profiting from it. The ones that own our debt.
Well, yeah. I've got a question for both of you guys, and I've encountered this over the past couple of days. Will both of you gentlemen speak to the fact that we have people in this country who just absolutely will not accept the fact that this government is corrupt, and they believe that there's a magic bean out there somewhere where they can suddenly bring this country back to freedom and rightful liberty? Stephen, would you speak to that? And Dave, I would like for you to speak to that too before we take another caller.
Rightful liberty is a good phrase. I've been reading this book called Liberty. And I don't know, today people have no idea what that means. It's we've been programmed by all these psyops since at least my generation and even before. And people out there, you know, they're not going to know the truth or what's going on, how we've been bamboozled. It's a whole lot easier to fool somebody than to I forgot how that goes, but
convince them they've been fooled.
There you go.
Yeah, Stephen, why will they not believe the truth when you show it to them?
Yeah, that is a mystery. I mean, they sometimes will have hysterical reactions if you have actual evidence.
Oh, I know.
that disproves their myth or their
indoctrination.
It's really like they programmed. I've seen people react that way and just, you know, start screaming or whatever and just don't want to see. Like you said, that woman had said to you, no matter how many facts you show me, I am not going to change my mind. It doesn't matter if you prove me wrong or not. It's like my sacred belief here. And it goes back to, you know, that rightful liberty is kind of does go to being able to not follow what this government says because your religion is against it. It was what this guy was positing in that. It's pretty interesting, but you know, we've gone so far past that. It's ridiculous.
Well, I made the analogy today that government to most Americans is like a pacifier to a baby. They don't want it taken away from them. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, Mike, the magic bean to fix the American government is Donald Trump. At least that's unfortunately what a lot of people believe, but it's sadly not the case at all. And when Trump's gone, there'll be another magic bean to fill the void. But unfortunately, there's no reforming this government. It's not possible. We've crossed the Rubicon a long time ago for that. And it's time to think about other ways to move forward than trying to salvage a deeply corrupt, tyrannical system that we live under now.
Absolutely. And guys, let's jump to a caller, Mike in Kentucky. Mike, how are you today, sir?
Well, I didn't, there's some lag in my internet connection, so I didn't know you were back on there, Mr. Gaddy, but I was trying to jump in with the questions about Russia and why they sided with the Lincoln's War, and I have to wonder, you know, if they were having financial trouble enough to where they were financially captured a lot like Spain was in the, you know, the 1490s, and they had their own war issues, I think, in Crimea or somewhere in the 1850s, and they had lost interest in Alaska, so they may have been maybe making overtures of selling that to the United States then, and several motivations there that I think could be looked into for why they sided with the North. But I think that was a legitimate concern that England or others were going to end up recognizing the Confederate States of America, because that's what has to happen today, you know, if you wanted to have a breakaway Republic of Texas or something like that, establishing...
Well, Mike, if I may, my studies show me that the reason that England, even though they were suffering that cotton famine because the South was no longer able to ship cotton, and it was affecting them financially. One of the biggest reasons England did not come into the program was because Karl Marx was influential in the media in England during that time frame, and he kept demonizing the South for their terrible slave owner capacities. So I think Karl Marx worked his magic in England at that time.
And a big factor he wanted to do, one of his big manifestos, was to foment the industrialization of agriculture, which we're fully seeing now.
Exactly.
The opposite of Jeffersonian ideals, that a nation of independent farmers would be unconquerable. So, Russia, that's one other thing I was going to bring forward and point out is during the Cold War, Russia is allowing U.S. drug companies to experiment on their population massively with experimental vaccines. And what would that be? What would be the purpose of that? Just so they could get wheat? I mean, all through the Cold War, they were giving them wheat, and so that they could eliminate independent farmers, I guess. I mean, but the whole Cold War scam comes to mind too. But I think, between 1850 and 1900, Russia had a lot of skirmishes going on, Turkestan and things like that. I have to wonder if they didn't get financially entrapped by the Rothschilds or European banking. And so they were maybe ordered.
Well, I think that's exactly the answer. I think that's exactly the answer, Mike. And, Mike, thank you so much. We're running short on time. I've got a caller in, Francis. Let me get to Francis. Mike, thank you so much for listening and for calling in. Your contributions are great. I just want to get to Francis before we run out of time. Thank you, sir. Francis, go ahead, please.
Hey, fellas. As far as who runs the world and all that, try the initial bankers at the behest of the so-called elite or whatever they want to consider themselves that are a bunch of inbred but spoiled brats to start with. Secondly, I kind of learned with someone that is getting ready to put in for the Social Security something I didn't know. They have it set up such a nice little hoop to jump through that you have to pay tax on your Social Security. Now try that on for size. Yep. Why, yep, after it's been taken out of your pay when you were growing up and going to work for your Social Security when you get older, that they want to turn around and tax the out of it? Now explain the logic behind that.
Well, it's the fact that government's going, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution gave the federal government to tax you for anything they wanted to, at any amount they wanted to, for any reason they wanted to, and people think they have constitutional rights, Francis.
Well, guess what? That is so wrong. There's so many levels, it's not even silly. Because, quite frankly, that means that once you kick the bucket, they'll tax you then for kicking the bucket.
Yep, they're going to tax you for dying. That is for sure. And, folks, we are – Francis, thank you so much. And
we're running short
on time here. And I want to take the opportunity to thank my two co-hosts today for coming on and contributing a great deal to today's program. And, Stephen, thank you so very much. And any last comments before we switch it over to Dave?
Thought crime a day helps keep tyranny at bay. Thanks very much for having me. I learned a lot from you, sir. Y'all join me in the morning on Thought Crime Live.
Always a pleasure, buddy. And Scorp,
Mike, thanks for having me on. You always teach me something. And just a reminder, inflation is a hidden tax as well. So there's another way they tax us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
One of the biggest taxes. Yeah, very much so. And guys, I don't think, let's make a pitch here for RBN, because RBN gives us this platform and gives us the opportunity to present history to the people who care to listen. And the people who don't care to listen don't matter. But that is something that is very important. And I just want to thank the folks at RBN, the folks who handle all of the breaks, who do all of the work and everything else. They are indispensable. They are the hidden heroes. So I just wanted to take a moment to thank them and to thank them for all that they do, because, I have found them most accommodating. If you need something, you get in touch with them. Has that been your experience, Stephen?
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all go to that homepage and hit the yellow donate button to send the much needed fundage to keep these conversations going. Thanks again for having me, Mike.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And there's the music, guys. And folks, tune in tomorrow to the Rebel Madman Radio here on RBN at 4 p.m. Eastern. And we will be talking with John Hill. So, we appreciate, and RBN tells us that they're in dire need of a bit of emergency funding right now. So, listeners, do what you can to keep this platform alive. Liberty depends on it. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate you tuning in. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Scorpio. You guys are just the best. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in.
YouTube 3dbunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3dbunkers.com for more details or visit 3dbunkers.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.